The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, he went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise and quickly go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, By this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nicodemus, a Samaritan woman, a man who was born blind. The past 3 Sundays, we've heard long accounts from John's Gospel about Jesus' interaction with these people. In each case, Jesus' purpose has been clear. Nicodemus came to him with a general question. Jesus directed the conversation to proclamation of the one and only Son of God, given in love for the world, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. With the Samaritan woman, Jesus began by asking her for a drink of water, but soon was telling her, I who speak to you am he, that is, the promised Messiah. In the end, not only did she believe this, but many others from the town also came to know that Jesus was indeed the Savior of the world. With the man who had been born blind, there wasn't very much conversation. As the account drew to a close, though, Jesus sought out the man and identified himself as the Son of Man. The result of that interaction was faith. The man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. The bringer of salvation, the source of living water, the one who opens eyes to see the works of God. In each account, the Lord Jesus reveals himself as God's answer to the problem of sin, death, and hell. Jesus engaged with these people to lead them to believe in him as the Savior of the world. And these accounts were written down and preserved so that you and I may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, we may have life in his name. That is also the reason why Jesus acted as he did when Lazarus was dying and when he was dead. Did you notice the seeming non sequitur near the beginning of the reading? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. How can this be? Why didn't Jesus go to them and help them, since he loved them? Why let them wait in vain for help that would come too late? There's no doubt what the sisters had been hoping for. The first thing each of them said when Jesus finally arrived is, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Why wasn't Jesus there when they needed him? When he first heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus told his disciples, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." In John's Gospel, when Jesus speaks of being glorified, he often is referring to his suffering and death on the cross. It is there where God's glory shines most brightly, as his innocent Son willingly submits to the suffering for the sin of the world, as Jesus gives his life that sinners may have eternal life. This may seem a bit of a stretch from what Jesus says here. Yet in the final section of today's gospel reading, and in his account of Palm Sunday in the next chapter, John shows that the plot to kill Jesus became more urgent precisely because of the following he gained by calling Lazarus from his tomb. Thus, John shows a connection between Jesus' raising of Lazarus and his own glorification on the cross not long afterward. Why wasn't Jesus there when Mary, Martha, and Lazarus needed him? So that the Son of Man would be glorified by raising Lazarus to life and by dying so that all people may have eternal life. But that wasn't the only reason for Jesus delaying his journey to Bethlehem. After they had stayed put a couple of days, Jesus told his disciples, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." So that you may believe, Jesus tells his disciples. A second reason for Jesus' slowness in acting was in order to increase his disciples' faith and trust in him. And not only theirs. As the account goes on, Jesus has much to say to Martha about believing. And when he prays, he says that he does so that the people standing around may believe. How is belief brought forth in what occurs here? Many months earlier, the disciples had heard Jesus teach, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. An hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out." Concerning those in their tombs, the context shows that Jesus had been speaking of the last day and the judgment. In what happened when Jesus cried, "Lazarus, come out," the disciples were given a preview of the resurrection of all flesh. They saw that his power extended even over those firmly in death's grasp, that with a word, he could call the dead back to life. In some ways, the evidence of his authority they witnessed at the tombs on the outskirts of Bethany would prepare them for an even greater power over death he would exercise within weeks. Then he would fulfill his words spoken earlier, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay it down that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." To be sure, the disciples wouldn't understand right away. But when he came to them, they would remember and believe. Jesus' conversation with Martha when she met him on the road had that same goal. He spoke of Lazarus rising. She affirmed her faith in the resurrection of the body. Then in precious, treasured words, he called her to understand even more clearly who he was and what he had come to do, and to believe in him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die forever. Do you believe this? To say that he himself is the resurrection and the life emphasizes for Martha that she doesn't have to wait until the last day. He is present with authority and power to help her now. His next words, though, are something of a riddle. Living and believing and dying, but not dying, or not dying forever? What Jesus says here shows that what he is about to do for Lazarus, restoring physical life to a decaying dead body, is but a faint shadow of the life he brings. For those who believe in him have a life which survives even the death of their earthly body. Living through faith in him means living forever. The life he gives to all who believe in him is life which doesn't end, but continues eternally. Their souls will never die, and their bodies, though they die, will not remain dead forever. On the last day, the Lord will raise the bodies of all the dead, and having glorified the bodies of those who died in the faith, he will reunite them with their souls, to live with him forever. "Do you believe this?" Jesus asked. Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." Martha may not have understood everything Jesus said, but she didn't have any doubt about who he was. She believed he was the Savior, God's chosen one, the bringer of salvation. Only minutes later, Jesus was at the tomb, commanding that the stone covering the entrance be removed, praying to his Father, and calling his dead friend Lazarus to come out. Then John writes, "The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth." It's almost funny to hear about the burial cloths impeding Lazarus. With a word, Jesus has broken the bonds of death. But he leaves it to the bystanders to unbind the linen strips, making it difficult for resurrected Lazarus to walk. Many of the Jews believed, we read, and his disciples believed, and Martha believed. Jesus truly is the Christ, the Son of God, whom God had sent into the world in order that the world might be saved through him. He spent 3 years preaching and teaching and entering into conversation and showing mercy and working miracles, with one single goal, that those who heard him and saw him would believe and have life. But he didn't stop there. Through the Spirit, he saw to it that what he said and did was recorded, so that we too could believe and never die. The author of Hebrews begins his letter, "Long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Again this morning, he has spoken to us. Spoken to us that we too may believe, be strengthened in the faith, and be certain that even death cannot separate us from the eternal blessings he has prepared for all of us who are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord preserve you in believing until he comes. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.